Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends. Thanks for joining us again today for another exciting episode of Everyday Truth. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 18, as you know, and we have been sitting in the room with David trying to avoid javelins. And David, the Bible says, avoided twice the javelin throws of Saul. We're in verse number 12, which is to me such an instructive verse. And it's so counterintuitive that I'm going to read it twice just so that it sinks in. Look at verse 12, 1 Samuel chapter 18. And Saul was afraid of David. Let me read that again. And Saul was afraid of David. So David is the one who's getting javelins thrown at him. David is the one whose motives have been misassigned. David is the one who is not the king, does not have the power. And yet the Bible says that Saul actually fears David. And here's why. Because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. See, at the heart level, Saul knew David has something that I don't.
You know, I think, Pastor, Saul, the sad thing about Saul is Saul does not get it right. Saul does not turn to God and repent of his wrongdoing, but you are right on target with Saul's problem is a spiritual problem. He knows that God is with David, not with him, and Saul is afraid, and this is so counterintuitive. Sometimes we see people who are really bullies, and we think, wow, that person, you know, they're really, you know, strong. That often they're not. They have insecurities. They have all kinds of things inside. We must never forget we can't judge a person's heart by just looking at how they act. Even if they act like they're big and they're bold, that is not necessarily true.
Bravado, boldness, a dictatorial spirit in nature are often insecurity's best masks. It's insecurity's best disguise. It's like I'm trying so hard to show you that I'm strong, that it's like you're trying too hard. A secure person doesn't have to use volume or authority or positional clout. I love the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 where it says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." See, true strength doesn't need to demonstrate itself. It's satisfied with knowing what it is. True strength is the ability to restrain that bombast, to restrain the use of authority, to put oneself in a position of letting the truth do its work.
I think about our Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 15. We find Christ before Pilate. The people are just screaming out accusations, all kinds of things against our Savior. And Pilate asked Jesus, aren't you going to answer anything to these critics? And Jesus just doesn't say a word. And the Bible says that Pilate marveled at what Jesus did because that was so unlike what people usually would do. But Jesus knew who he was. He did not have to respond to these harsh critics and their lies about him.
A great practical application of that is, you know, in argument, or maybe in a scenario where you could make somebody look so bad or best them in argument, just to be silent, just to allow the situation to unfold. When you could do something to crush but don't, that's an indication of spirit fullness. The Bible says in verse number 13, "Therefore Saul removed him from him, made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people." So Saul, think about the progression here. Saul wants to kill David. That doesn't work. Saul's afraid of David because he realizes, wow, David has something that I don't have. So now Saul wants to distance himself from David because Boy, when I'm close to him, I'm convicted by him. When I'm close to him, I feel inferior to him. And so I'm going to play the game. I'm going to use him. I'm going to leverage him, but I'm going to keep him at arm's length.
You know, as I see what Saul does, I kind of chuckle inside a little bit, because Saul actually puts David in a position where David will continue to get more praise and more applause by the people, because he's leading the people in and out. The Bible says, again, as you read it there, that he went out and came in before the people. What he's doing is he's leading his men out on military excursions. He's coming back in being victorious. And so as he has more and more victories, the esteem of the people just grows for David. It's ironic to see how God is using even Saul's decisions here to actually lift David up more before the people.
It's a strange juxtaposition that Saul finds himself in, because on the one hand, he wants David dead, and he's actually tried to kill him. On the other hand, he realizes just how valuable David is, and trying to resolve the tension between those two disparate realities is causing Saul to become more and more confused and frustrated.
It sure is. You know, I have to think that Saul hoped that David would get killed along the way somewhere. Remember, we're going to find that as we go along this chapter here. But Saul, he wants David dead because he is so fearful that David is going to be the next king now. It just shows that Saul is not accepting the judgment of God. If David is the next king, then he should say fine. But he's not going to say that because he doesn't want to submit to God.
Look at verse 14, because this comes back to a theme that we suggested earlier. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. So remember an episode or two ago, I told you to pay attention to that term. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. So there seems to be this back and forth description of David. On the one part, he's described as somebody that takes on his responsibility in a good and godly way. He behaves himself wisely. On the other hand, the Bible says, God's with him. So you see, the part that God does, God empowers, God's presence is real. And you see the part that David does, he responds by obeying and doing the right thing. There is God's part, there's man's part, and boy, when they go together, there's a wonderful example of what Bible Christianity ought to look like.
It sure is, Pastor, and this is a great picture to us today. I think of how, you know, Paul tells us to work out our own salvation, but faithful is he who's called you also will do it. God works through us, and I'm reminded that, you know, God does equip us to serve him. But God expects us to use the brains, the minds he's given us to have wisdom to follow him. But you're exactly right that it's, you know, a two-part. We must exercise our will, but we do it depending upon God. And God's what actually empowers us to fulfill his will. God has a great plan that he fulfills in our lives.
Seems like every God-blessed, great, if I can use that term, character in the Bible, this somewhere along the lines, this statement is made about them. God was with him. David, God was with him. Moses, God was with him. Daniel, God was with him. Joseph, God was with him. And that's the great need we have, God to be with us. Now, we know that as New Testament believers, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. But I think that the idea of God being with them is more analogous to Holy Spirit fullness and Holy Spirit control in our life. And I guess my question to you listeners would be, is God with you in the sense of your yieldedness, in the sense of his control and sway in your life? I think that would be the application for you and me.
Yeah, it sure would be, Pastor. We all, as believers, we all have the Holy Spirit who indwells us, but Christians' lives are sometimes so starkly different because some people are submitting to the Holy Spirit, as you pointed out. And because of that, God's working through their life, accomplishing his will. But some other people, you know, bow their back, you know, get a stiff neck, are not going to follow God. And sadly, they become more like a Saul in their life rather than a David.
Verse number 15, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. So now Saul is fearing David when he sees David reacting with grace to the javelin throws and realizing, wow, that's not human. That's God is with him. And I remember the days when God used to be with me. So he fears David because he knows that God is with David. But then when David continues to behave himself wisely, despite Saul's attempts to marginalize him, he becomes even more afraid. And what do we know about insecurity? We know that insecurity really is the behavior, the attitude of a fearful person.
You know, what is so sad in Saul's life is it did not have to be this way. And for people today that struggle with some things that Saul struggled in their lives, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, the same Holy Spirit who empowered David is the same Holy Spirit who indwells us, the same Holy Spirit who wants to empower us. And God wants us to not go down Saul's road. And I think that's why God gives us so many details about here, to have stark contrast. Here's what Saul's like. Here's what David's like. And in my life, I take away, be like David, don't be like Saul.
Mm. And how sad that Saul had every advantage, every resource, and yet he didn't have the presence of God, and therefore he had no security. And when insecurity has leadership, bad things happen. When insecurity occupies the throne or the pulpit or the seat of authority, bad things happen. So Saul's afraid, but look at verse number 16, and all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So you're seeing the divide is widening. The tension is becoming that much more profound as Saul continues to be more and more paranoid and insecure, and the people are falling more and more in love with David. Pretty soon, this rift is going to be a full-on severing of the relationship.
You know, and as we've already said, Saul just cannot stand this. And Saul's already tried to kill David, but he's going to try more in this chapter because he just cannot take what's happening to him in his mind. He must do away with David.
We're going to see how this unfolds in the upcoming episodes. But while insecurity knows no limits, we're going to see some outrageous ways by which insecurity manifests itself. And yet love knows no limit. And we're going to see a loving response that is just nothing short of Christ-like. And I hope that you'll stay along for the ride. Have a great day today. Appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.